Welcome to Palm Sunday. Good to see each and every one of you with us today. Let's take our hymnals and turn to 139 at the cross. 139. Stand with me. Let's sing 1, 2, and 5.
Good morning and welcome to Barbie's Grove. I'm glad to have everybody here. Any visitors, we're definitely welcome to have you here with us today. As you can see today, what we got going on at Barbie's Grove is Palm Sunday. We'll be celebrating with the kids up here in a little bit. We also have the kids' Easter party this afternoon, not just for kids, any adults that would like to come out and enjoy some time with us is more than welcome. Lee, would you like to speak?
Yeah,
also have the Annie Armstrong Easter offering going on this month. Says we'll be collecting for 2017 Easter, Annie Armstrong Easter offering for the month of March. The week of prayer is March 4th through 11th, and the theme this year is On Mission Here and Now. And it's 1 John 3, 16 through 18, and the goal this year is $1,500. All right, March Mission Project. So Taylor House Medicines for the Elderly. We're supporting the Taylor House for monetary donations during this time of March for basically to help pay for medicines that Medicare and Medicaid is not picking up for them. And this there's a noisy offering at the end of church for any money that we can donate. And the Baptist men have decided that we're going to match any donations up to $1,500. So the more money you get, that's going to be double. So, all right. Then we got our Easter sunrise service and the church schedule. Easter will be next Sunday, April 1st. So we'll see what God has in store for that one. Maybe he'll play a trick on us himself. But we'll meet here. We have sunrise service out at the cemetery at 7:10. We'll have breakfast following that at 7:30. We'll have a joint Sunday school service. And at 8:30, at 8:30, and then at 9:30, we'll have our worship service. Any cooks, we need to be here by 4:30 at the latest so we can get started, because we definitely need all the time and all the help we can get to make sure everything's done and ready to go. All right. We have a senior adult revival. This evening will be hosted by the South Stanley Baptist Church in Norwood, April 16th through 18th. So at 10 a.m. there will be a meal. There will be a meal on Wednesday after the service. Guest speakers will be Dr. Kenny Wallace, Reverend Alex Willoughby, and Reverend Todd McSwain. All right, our Baptist Men's Retreat. We'll have one of the guest speakers will be Patrick Fuller. The men will meet at the church to depart shortly after on 3 p.m. on Friday and arrive back on Sunday morning. All the men and boys of the church are invited. The Baptist men of Moons Chapel Baptist will be joining us. Please see Leonard, Jeff, or David if you'd like to attend. Departure time could change. We're going to be going back to the Speedwell, which we went to on our last retreat this April 20th through the 22nd. I urge any man in this church, any boy in this church that's of age that wants to go, to come. Because this is how we build each other. This is how we learn to fellowship with each other. There's sometimes things that you might not share in the group, whether it be your Sunday school class or whatever, but when it comes to a men's retreat, you might share more information and you can be a little more comfortable at that time. I know I've been blessed on the times that I've gotten to go. We'll have laughs. We'll have some fun. We'll do some fishing. We'll do some hanging around, but the biggest thing is just fellowshipping with other Christians and be able to have that time with each other. So. All right. We also have the Monday-Thursday service. There will be no Wednesday services this week. We'll be doing everything on Thursday. Come in, be prepared for that. Be praying about it. Have your heart clear, your mind clear when you come in as we celebrate this time of Easter. All right, you see there, that's the change in that. The pastor search committee will be meeting on Wednesday at 6:30, and then the Monday Thursday service. All right, we'll go into our prayer request. As was mentioned this morning, Leonard Harville's out sick today, as you can, I'm sure you've noticed. We have Judy Turner with the house fire in Aquadale, so she lost everything. So they're taking donations for that. There's also Teresa Trawick that was mentioned. Is there any other names that we need to add?
Zachary Storms.
Okay. Anything else? Leslie Dennis. Is there anything else? Okay. If there's nothing else, let's go to the word, Lord in prayer real quick. Lord, we come to you today just to thank you. Thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for the many blessings you give us day in and day out, Lord. Lord, for the hard times and the bad times, Lord, you're always there for us no matter what. Lord, we ask you just to be with this church through this time right now as we're in search for a pastor. We thank you for Pastor Ed and what he does for us, Lord. We ask you to continue to be with him as he continues on with his ministry here. Lord, just be with all these that are mentioned on the prayer list. You know each and every need is there, Lord. Those that are struggling, those that are hurting. Lord, there's people that have lost their house due to fire. Lord, you can only you can help them, and you can point our hearts to what we can do to help them too, Lord. Lord, just be with us as we get ready to celebrate Easter. It's a special time in a Christian's life to sit here and think about what you did for us, that you sent your son to die for us, and that he rose again. Lord, we should be celebrating that all year, not just at this time, but we just thank you so much for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's stand together again, please, and turn our hymnals to 149, Blessed Redeemer. 149, singing all three verses. Stand with me.
Oh,
waiting a second. Hold on. I was trying to get the Bible verses they have up. That's fine. While we're waiting, do what? Okay. All right. So the focus for our pastor search committee says pray for a team to have no timetable but God's. They must be determined to find God's perfect will in God's perfect time. And it's Ephesians 5:17. It says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand that the will of the Lord is. Brother Kenny, will you pray for our pastor church committee, please?
You have a man. approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and you will find a donkey tied there with a colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right back." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to the daughter Zion, see your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "What is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet of the Nazareth of Galilee."
Microphones. So sing loud. Come on, Daniel, stand up. Hold on. You want to come here between Justin and Daniel?
Why do you keep on calling him Holden?
I don't know why I keep calling him Holden.
Teaching for 20 years and having all kinds of kids.
This is a problem. Sorry, Hudson, I keep calling you Holden. All right, so I want you to sing loud when we get ready to sing. And if you want to sing along, if you know the song, or if it's just
music guys too for helping us practice and get all this together for today. And guys, I'll can take these home if you're interested at the end of the service, okay?
Catchy little tune, but it's so true. God loved you. God sent his son. He died on the cross, but he's alive. We'll celebrate that. Let me encourage you to come Thursday night as we celebrate communion, the Lord's Supper, and spend some time with each other, and then Sunday morning. Now, those of you that are always inviting folks to come, be sure to tell them the time change. You don't want somebody to show up at 11 o'clock and the doors are locked, the lights are off. They'll think the rapture happened and they got left. So be sure, you know, and folks that aren't here today, folks that come once in a while, be sure and let them know. The Sunday school at 8:30, of course, come on for breakfast. Guys will have a lot prepared for us. Last 2 weeks, we've been talking about how much God loves you, how much God cares about you. And I just feel impressed to continue that again today, to think about how much God loves us. And so, if you would, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, those that have been in the Wednesday night Bible study realize that we looked at this passage of Scripture several months ago. But the good thing about the Bible is you can read it and teach it and preach on it and come back a week later and read it and preach on it and teach on it and say some things different. In my first church, I had a guy that always wrote in the margin of his Bible, you know, the date that I preached on something. And I preached on one something and I preached on it again about a year later. And he came and said, "Preacher, you preached on that last year." I said, "Yeah, I shot you with the first barrel last time and I got your second barrel this time." Let's read Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and have raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." When we lived up in the mountains, pastoring a church in Canton, we rescued a Cocker Spaniel that we named Lady from a puppy mill. And Lady was a blessing and a joy to us for about a dozen years or so, and then she died. And so we went through the grief like you would if you lose a precious pet. Wasn't long till my dear wife was saying, "We got to have another one. We got to have another one." And so she got her computer and she got on the website for rescued dogs. And she found one. another Cocker Spaniel. "Well, how did you know that this is the one?" She said, "Well, her name's Scarlett. And when I looked on her picture, she was cowered over in the corner of the cage like, 'Nobody loves me. Nobody wants me. I've been abandoned. And Pam said my heart went out to her. So she gets on the phone and does all the necessary work. We drive several hundred miles round trip to go to the other side of Knoxville, Tennessee to pick up this dog. We pay all the required fees, load her in the car, and she sits in my wife's lap all the way back, getting all kinds of loving words and loving touches. We bought her a new bed. We bought her a new water dish and food bowl. And Scarlett knew that from then on there's going to be food for her every day. She also learned that if she'd sit beside of my wife's chair when we were having a meal and look up at her with those big brown eyes, she could get some bacon or pancake or chicken or whatever else off the table, off my wife's plate, that she could eat. And she was a joy to us till we lost her back on in July, I think it was, June or July. What did Paul just tell us as he wrote to the Ephesians? He tells us about a people, you and me, who were in Satan's cage, trapped, unloved, unwanted, miserable. How does he put it there in verse 2? You walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the power that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He said, you were in Satan's cage because of your sin. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, all of us. And because of that sin, we're lost. Because of that sin, we're separated from God. And let me tell you something. Satan does not love you. Satan hates you. Satan's joy is making you miserable. His ultimate goal is to get you to go to hell, but if he can't get you there, he wants to make you miserable between now and then. Satan hates God. And he enjoys making God's creation that was created in the image of God miserable. And like Scarlet in that cage, unloved, cowering, that's the way we were. But what does that verse 4 say? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. God didn't need a computer. God didn't need a website. God looked at you and God looked at me. And he says, I choose you to be in my family. I choose you to be in my family. You see, that's the message of Christmas and Easter. God choosing us. Now, we only had to go a few hundred miles to the other side of Knoxville. Jesus came from heaven all the way to this earth. Jesus shed all of his glory and majesty, all of the opulence of heaven, to come and walk the dusty streets of Palestine, to know what it was to be hungry and thirsty, and know what it was to be lied about, and to know what it was to be whipped, to know what it was to have a crown of thorns placed on his head, to know what it was to have nails driven into his hands and into his feet, to know what it was to have a spear in his side, to know what it was to have the sin of you and me and all the rest of the world placed upon him. He had to go a lot further for us than we did to just rescue a little doggy. God so loved. God chose you. You see, Scarlett didn't choose us. She didn't know we existed. We chose her. The Bible says, even while we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. God chose you. God loved you. What a wonderful phrase that is. But God, who in his great mercy, God who in his great mercy loved us. And you know, when Scarlett was in that cage and Pam had just seen her on the computer, she hadn't done a thing to make us love her. She hadn't done a thing to love on us. It was all on our part toward her. And you know, that's what Paul is saying here, while we were dead in sin. And then in verse 8, by grace. And verse 9, not of works. It wasn't that God looked at you and God looked at me and said, oh, look how those folks love me. Look at how those folks are so nice. Look at how those folks are so good. I've just got to save them. No, God looked at us and saw us in our lostness, saw us in our need, saw us in our want, saw us in our separation from him, and God chose to come to you and say, I want you to be my child. I want to bring you into my family. I want you to be in my family forever. I want to love on you forever. I want to give you special blessings all of your life. I want you to know how much I love you and how special you are to me. The whole story of Christmas and Easter is God's love for us. You know, I don't know how we got it started, but I grew up so long thinking that God was just sitting there on his throne with his lightning rod to zap me and zap me and zap me and zap me. I didn't know anything about how much he loved me. Now, there's consequences to sin, and there's an eternal consequence in rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. There's an eternal consequence. But it's our choice. The river over here, when we came through Booger Hollow this morning, was about as high as it's been any time since I've been coming to Barbie's Grove. And I thought, now, where do they put up the barricade if it's over the bridge? Or don't they put up a barricade? I don't know. But it hit me. If there was a barricade somewhere up there that said, bridge out, I said, well, phooey on that. And I just went around the barricade and dropped into the river. Whose fault is it? My stubbornness. There's a cross. There's a barricade. Do you go into hell? There's an empty tomb. That's a barricade to you going to hell. God does not send people to hell. People choose to go there by bypassing the cross and bypassing the empty tomb and saying, I refuse to believe. The bridge is out. And when we do that, we bring upon ourselves the punishment of our own bad choice. But those bad choices are not the will of God. God's will is that we choose His love. Now, Lady and Scarlet chose our love, and they brought great love to us. And we gave great love to them. And so it is that God, when we respond to His love, gives great love to us. We love Him because He first loved us. He chose us. He went to all the trouble and trial and expense, in a sense, necessary to bring us out of Satan's clutches and to give us eternal life, to bring us into His family and to love on us. He paid the price for you and for me. You know, there's a passage in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is talking about if your child comes to you and wants bread, you're not going to give him a rock. If he wants a piece of fish, you're not going to give him a snake. And I've seen you here in the church, these little kids that were just up here a moment ago, they know they're loved. They know they're loved. I've seen you love on them. I've seen them run to you as grandparents or great-grandparents and love on you. They know they're loved. In that passage in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus goes on to say, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, you don't give them a stone or a rock, you don't give them a snake, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give to those that ask Him good things? How awesome it is that God is greater than we are. You know, we chose to bless a little puppy dog, but God chose to bless you and me for all of eternity. Accept it. Thank Him. Praise Him. Live it. How wonderful it is. Verse 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know, God just wants to give you good things now and for all of eternity. And He wants all of the universe. All of the universe. To see how special you are to Him. Now, I still haven't got it all straightened out. These kids were up here a moment ago. You're sitting back there. That's my grandkid. That's my son. That's my daughter. And I'm so proud of them. That's why you're taking their pictures. You go to a graduation. Talked to a man this week. He's fixing to fly to Texas. He says his first great-grandchild is graduating high school and said, I was there when that grandchild was born, and I want to be there when that grandchild graduates from high school. He's proud of that grandchild. God says, hey, all of eternity, I want to hold you up before the whole universe and say, look at my special people. Washed in the blood of Jesus, born again, those that I looked and saw in their cages of Satan, and in my great love, I brought them out. I brought them out to be a part of my loving family for all of eternity. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to save you. And I invite you to receive Him as your Lord and your Savior today. If you've got friends and neighbors and family members that they think, you know, God's mad at me. Go tell them God loves them. God cares about them. Show them this verse, but God, who in His great, who's rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. And tell them He reached out to you. All you have to do is reach out to Him to receive His love. It's fun to go and rescue a little puppy dog. But how much greater to rescue a child of the devil and bring him into the family of God, or bring her into the family of God. We're going to have an invitation here in just a moment. If you've never received Jesus, would you do it this morning? If you don't understand all about it, you come and tell me that, and I'll get somebody to take you back in the Sunday school room and explain it to you more. If there's somebody on your heart that you know that needs Jesus, maybe you want to pray for them right there. Maybe you want to come to the altar and pray for them. I want you to know God loves you. God chose you. And apart from Him, there is no eternal life. You have to go around the cross and the empty tomb to be lost. But you simply have to say yes to Jesus to be saved. Father, as we bow before You this morning, You know the hearts of every person that's here. If there's a single person that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, who's old enough to make a decision, I pray, dear Father, that today, as the Holy Spirit speaks to their heart, they'll have ears to hear and they'll say yes. I believe in Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins and I ask Jesus into my heart. Lord, give us a burden for our lost friends and neighbors and family members. And Lord, help us to be so appreciative of the love that You have for us, that we love You in return. That we lavish our love upon You. In Jesus' name. Amen.
What this time of the year tells us, because it's